And now to that interview with Matthew Crawford and his theory that we as a society disadvantage ourselves by increasingly devaluing manual labour. As I said earlier, his book is called Shop Class as Soulcraft.
The original impetus came when I was looking for a table saw, and I was in this warehouse where this guy's got all this used shop equipment, milling machines and band saws and table saws, and he happened to mention that most of this stuff had come from schools, which I found kind of disturbing and started looking into it and learned that shop class, as we call it in the States, has been pretty widely dismantled starting in the 1990s. So these are classes where people learn, you know, auto mechanics, metal shop, things like that. And the more I looked into it, it seemed like the manual trades weren't getting quite their due, in America at least, and I think in many places. We've had this idea that somehow we're going to be gliding around in a pure information economy. That hasn't quite turned out to be the case. It sometimes seems like the modern personality is getting reformed on the basis of passivity and dependence.
How much of that change in our attitude toward manual competence, a devaluing, as you say, how much of that is the result of our identification of ourselves much more as consumers?
Yeah, I think that's right. Technology is always something that's handled by somebody else. It's almost a kind of weirdly pre-modern attitude where technology is this magical thing that relies on invisible powers for all one knows. And I think that spirit of self-reliance is something that we need to cultivate a little bit.
Now, you make the point in your book that we've set up what you say is a false dichotomy between manual work and what you call knowledge work. Could I get you to elaborate on that?
Yeah, the book is in part an attempt to speak up for the honor of the manual trades and say that that can be a life that's worth choosing. I think we've developed a kind of, in America at least, an educational monoculture where anyone with even halfway decent test scores is getting hustled off into a certain track where you end up working in an office. But the truth is that some people, and I think some who are plenty smart, would rather be learning to build things or fix things. And why not honor that? I think one reason we don't honor it is for the reason you mentioned. We've got this dichotomy of knowledge work versus manual work as though they're two very different things. But there's just a lot of thinking that goes on in the trades.
So we've set up a situation where it is just assumed by many people that white-collar work is intellectual, but blue-collar work is not, that it doesn't involve intelligence.
Yeah, I think that's right. But say you're trying to diagnose why a car doesn't idle properly, for example. I mean, that's not a trivial problem. And more generally, I'd say that the kind of thinking that goes on in the trades can be quite impressive if we stop to notice it. And conversely, I think we sometimes romanticize some kinds of white-collar work by presuming that it has more intellectual content than it may actually turn out to have. I mean, a lot of white-collar work gets sort of dumbed down in the same way that the assembly line dumbed down manufacturing 100 years ago. But by contrast, what a mechanic does, what an electrician or a plumber does, that work can never be reduced to simply following a set of procedures. The physical circumstances in which you do those jobs varies too much for it to be reduced to just following rules in that way. So you always have to be adaptable. You have to improvise. The point, I think, is that if you're someone who wants to use your mind at work, the trades can be worth taking a fresh look at.
You also talk about the idea that futurism has been wedded to what you term virtualism. What do you mean by that exactly?
Well, this idea that somehow we're going to take leave of material reality and glide around in a pure information economy, everyone in front of their screens. But there's powerful economic argument for the viability of the trades. It's work that can't be outsourced. So as one economist put it, you can't hammer a nail over the internet. Any job that can be delivered over a wire is vulnerable to this logic of outsourcing. So that, for example, editors, radiologists, even architects, a lot of them are finding their jobs sent to places where labor is cheaper. But if you need your car fixed, the Indians can't help you. because they're in India.
So in summary, we've devalued manual competence and we're not as interested as a society in knowing how things work as perhaps we were in the past. But how does that fit, though, with the growth of do-it-yourself culture in recent years, from people assembling their own IKEA furniture to online collaboration? Matthew Crawford again.
It's just a hunch of mine, but I wonder if part of the growth of the do-it-yourself movement might be a response to changes in the world of work and a sort of compensating. So in other words, if you're working in an office, sometimes it can be hard to have that experience of seeing a direct effect of your own actions. And so people come home and they knit a sweater that, you know, they take pride in wearing, or maybe build an addition on their home to maybe partly make up for the fact that that experience of individual agency has become quite elusive at work. And people crave that. I think that experience of taking a tool in hand and seeing that direct effect of your own actions in the world is, we're just sort of hardwired to want that.
And just finally, I mean, looking to the future, and given that so many of us are removed from manual work, what hope do you see of a greater balance in years to come? You know, are our dismissive attitudes towards manual labour, are they too well set?
Well, I think the sort of economic thing that's going on where a lot of people's career expectations have gotten kind of scrambled means that our ideas of what a good job might consist of are a little more open now than they have been for a while. And I don't know if my experience is at all typical, but when I graduated from college with a degree in physics, I couldn't find a job to save my life. And after a few months, I started going around the parking lot of a home improvement store and putting flyers on the windshields of cars to advertise my services as an electrician. That was work I'd done all through high school and college, and I got immediate response. So I think there are moments in the economy, and maybe this is one of them, when the basic idea of providing a useful service sort of becomes, we're sort of thrown back on that very basic idea and becomes respectable again, I hope.
How responsible, though, are our education institutions, our universities, our technical colleges, even our schools, the people who put together school curriculum, how responsible are they for this trend that you see away from a realisation of the benefits of manual culture?
Yeah, I think, you know, education is very subject to sort of trends and ideologies. And I do think that there's been a tendency, certainly in the States, to track people into vocational education who are thought to be not fit for college. And I think behind that is precisely this idea that if the work is dirty, it must also be stupid. And there isn't enough sort of emphasis put on intellectual challenges arising from the work itself. So sometimes you'll have them sort of overlay a veneer of academic studies on top of the vocational track, but not much attention to how the work itself actually can be the occasion for really developing some impressive, say, diagnostic skills if you're a mechanic.
Well, Dr. Matthew Crawford, thank you very much for talking to us on Future Tense.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.